Joining us right now is a man who can be seen at most Bucks games wearing green hair, although it was blue when I watched the game the other day. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. David Margolis joins us. And Dr. Dave, we're looking at a couple of proclamations here. And to be very fair, we asked Dr. Dave to bring his proclamations because we wanted to see these.
He's too humble for that.
The State of Wisconsin Office of the Governor Certificate of Achievement honoring David Margolis, MD, Dr. Bruno Lambert Jewish Good Guy and Sports Award, the Jewish Sports Heritage Association, and many of you may or may not know this, I am half Jewish, so I don't know if I qualify, Dr. Dave. I could only get half of this plaque if I was a good guy. They couldn't give it to me anyway.
You are a great guy, and I'm sure you qualify.
Congratulations on this, but then...
And then, right, so May 1st, 2022, in the city of Milwaukee, now therefore by the mayor, was Dr. David Margolis Day.
Dr. Dave Margolis Day, and that's seriously, it's a special thing. People do not get awards like this, proclamations, if they haven't made a huge difference in a community.
Very special recognition, and I like to think it's because I'm a good guy and a great team. And,
well, you know,
and
that's the way to phrase it. That is the way. Now, as special as you are, this guy next to you is a one in a billion.
He is.
I mean, literally one in a billion. Why don't you introduce our special guest?
Well, I'd like to introduce my former patient and still very good friend, Damian Buckman, who is a survivor of cancer, who, when people ask why we do what we do, it's the Damians of the world. And I'm fortunate enough to be old enough now to have seen Damian progress from a pain in the butt kid.
Yeah, I was rough. That's fair.
To a wonderful human who is only person that's better than him is his wife, Bo, who happens to work on our bone marrow transplant team.
Okay. All right. So one in a billion, though, statistically, is accurate.
At least, yeah.
Okay. All right. And talk about you as a teenager when you were, 12 or 13?
Yeah, I was diagnosed with bone cancer in my right leg 3 days before my 13th birthday. And after 7 months of remission, I think the thing that makes it separates me from many others was I was re-diagnosed my left leg in 1992 when I was a freshman in high school.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you had to go through this twice.
Twice. The second time I got to go through it with this man here on my right, Dr. Margolis, and that's when he made the pivots that saved my life.
Okay, so when you say he made the pivots, explain what it was that you were dealing with in your words, because I think if I ask the doc, it might get too technical.
You know, it was two really simple things that today seem easy, but in the early 90s just were not done. So while my wife is upstairs treating kids in clinic, the idea of treating kids in clinic was just starting. And so when you're in the hospital, it's really difficult psychologically. Mm-hmm. It's just not the place you want to be as a kid. You know it's saving your life. You know it's a miracle. You know you need it. But it makes you feel miserable in the moment when being treated for cancer.
Sure.
So he said, why don't we send you home on pass? And that was just unheard of. It was just not something that happened. This was, I think, while Dr. Kamita was out at a conference.
Okay.
So I was under the care of resident Dr. David Margolis, or fellow. Sorry, don't let me.
That's okay.
So I'm under the care of Dr. Margolis at the time, and he sends me home on pass. So I went from home on pass from 11 in the morning till 11 at night. And psychologically, that kept me in the game when I was ready to quit my treatment. I was so sick and done. And then the other thing he realized is while they upped the chemo, we didn't up the level of nausea medication I was getting, which was causing me to be so sick and just wanting to be done and just ready to quit.
Right.
I can remember being in clinic, a tear falling down my cheek as I'm staring at my mom, just trying to tell her I don't want to quit because I was at my wit's end. And then he stepped in. And now here I am almost 30 years later talking to you fine people.
It's really the mental aspect is really something that I think is not touched on enough. you said you were ready to give up. I think we've all had loved ones who maybe reach a certain age in their life. Usually, you know, the elderly, it's like, okay, mom or dad gave up and that was it.
Right.
But that happens when you're a youngster too. You're a teenager, you know, the whole world is ahead of you, and then the darkness of cancer falls upon you and you've got to deal with that. And then you had to deal with it again.
Right.
I mean, the idea that you were able to be quote unquote sprung from the hospital from was really the turning point.
Absolutely.
And now that's standard practice, but back then, how much trouble did you get in, Doc?
I don't recall.
Okay.
I think one of the things that I learned from my mentors, in particular my mentor, Jim Casper, is you take care of the patient. And one of the things that we've done so well over the years is, you know, the hair painting, that's letting kids be kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is the other line I will use on rounds is keeping kids in the game, and I like to think that's why I'm an honorary member of the Child Life team, and I think that in the early 90s it was maybe not as well accepted as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
The culture now is to keep kids in the game.
Yep.
The culture is to have the art therapy and the pet therapy and all of the ways that our mental health team helps engage kids. And I heard your conversation with Dr. Kari today, and I thought of Damien, you know, because I didn't do anything fancy for Damien. I did not cut any, you know, Dr. Hackbarth, I mean, that's a real magician who
still had legs.
The orthopedic surgeon who cared for Damien, and I think that what we do as an organization in keeping kids in the game is one of the differentiating factors. And I'm going to bring it back to the KLH Miracle Marathon. You guys give us the resources, the community gives us the resources to be able to keep kids in the game in 2022 the way we should. And so thank you, because you're part of that big team that we are.
Well,
we're
the conduit between the audience that cares so much, because we care. And we try to express how much we care, because we're parents, in my case, grandparents as well. It's one of those things where, you know, you as a parent, you get to a certain point when you've got your kids, as you guys know, and you think you're in the clear, but you're never really in the clear. And then the grandkids come along, then you realize you're in it all over again. So when we talk about the innovations and the research and the things might be as small as letting somebody go on pass, but those are the kind of things that make a huge difference long term for so many hundreds, if not thousands, of other youngsters. And when I talk about donating money and changing the trajectory of somebody's life, Damien, your life was changed by what Children's Wisconsin did back in the 90s. Imagine how many kids and families' lives have changed because of the good that's done here.
Oh, I talk to people all the time about the thing that's immeasurable, which is the ripple effect that happens in the community when you send kids out survivors in a strong new normal. And the collective care that Children's puts around, that I hear about, that you guys put around kids today. I had an oncologist and a surgeon, and now there's art therapists, and there's occupational therapists, and there's physical therapists, and there's recreational therapists, and there's mental health professionals.
And they're all needed.
They're all absolutely 100% needed. And that's the point. We surround kids and families now with all of the tools that they need, so that when they do walk out those doors, they walk out those doors able to give back to their communities, give back to families, give back to friends. It's a big, big deal.
How many of them turn into become healthcare professionals themselves?
Yeah.
They know how much impact it has.
And work right here in this hospital.
It's one of the best parts of being old here now is the number of people that I see that at some point I may have cared for. And it's one of the reasons that this place is special, but I'm going to go back to it. We are differentiating because of the KLH listeners who listen and donate. And they're all part of this big team.
All right. Now, I have to ask you why your hair was painted blue for the Bucks Celtics game that I tuned into, because I'm so used to you with the green hair.
It's a true statement. The Bucks came into the league in 1969.
Right.
The Boston Celtics a long time earlier than that. So when I think of green in the NBA, I think of Celtics. first, and then I think of the Bucks. You know, it's wonderful wearing green, but when we're playing the Celtics, there's no flipping away. I don't want anybody to think I'm a Celtics fan.
There can't be any mistake. That makes perfect sense.
And Marcus Smart had the green hair, right?
He stole your stuff.
Yeah,
man.
He is stealing my stuff. In a small world phenomenon, his mother actually had a blood disorder, and I don't honestly know how she's doing. But in 2016, Aplastic Anemia Myelodysplastic Foundation that I am a medical advisor to, we actually reached out to Marcus Smart, and at one of the games, I gave him some. I sent to the PR people some support for him and his mom. So even though I completely disagree with the way he flops. You're getting me going. I hope the best for him and his mom who is dealing with a blood disorder.
Did he remember you? Like, did he look over at you?
I don't know.
Because I was going to say,
it was with, you know, that you couldn't get close. And so it
right,
was through
okay.
the Boston PR people.
His hair, though, was an homage to you.
Maybe.
I would like to think that.
I mean, I hope his flopping is not.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
No way.
Damian, let's talk a little bit about the fact that you said you still have legs. You were 13 years old when this happened to you. How many knee replacements?
Oh, boy. 27 knee replacements and revisions since I was 13. I had my last one here in 2005. They finally kicked me out when I was 27 years old.
So they
it's time for you to go.
They took care of you until 27.
They did, amazingly. And it wasn't even Children's who said, you know, exit stage left. It was my surgeon who said, it's time to come over to the adult hospital.
Okay.
Yeah, full of terrible excuses of why I should go to the adult hospital. Yeah. I wanted to stay at Children's as long as
I could. Well, sure. Like, who wouldn't, right?
Yeah, because the care is tremendous.
The care is unbelievable. Dr. Margolis, what do you have to say to moms and dads out there, grandparents, aunts and uncles? There's children in their lives. Why is it important for them to give money?
We are here. We are here for you 24/7, 365. God forbid you ever need us. We are here. We're here in primary care. You heard what was said this morning by Dr. Kari. Changing the visit to a primary care office to include discussions about mental and behavioral health. And if you have something that is serious or, on a good day, less serious, we are here. And that, we are a community resource that takes care of everybody. And if you've had to be here, you know how special this place is. Mm-hmm. If you haven't, thank God.
Right.
And some of your friends have had to be here. And I've been on the other side of the stethoscope here a couple times. It's really special the way we take care of kids. And we promise to give you 100% effort to get a great outcome.
Doc, couldn't have said it better. Thank you so much. Damian, it was an honor to meet you.
It's an honor to be alive and be here. Thanks to Children's.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Doreen.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you very much, Marcus.
Thanks, Damian. Thank you.
Miracle Marathon continues on 96.5 KLH.